I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Sean?
That is an excellent question, Mike. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. I come up with all the good questions.
I thought today we could take a few minutes and talk about... I always have a story with mine. Like, I never just come right out and say it. So I thought we spent a lot of time talking about, like, hiking and stuff like that. I thought today we could take a minute and talk about the day after a hiking trip. So in the context of, like, a post-hike recovery day, what does that look like? What does that need to entail, or advice for taking that? Just anything related to, like, recovery after your hike. And my thought behind that is, when you and I started this podcast, like, the whole thing was, like, it's geared towards people that are just starting out, right?
Right.
I remember when you and I went on our very first hike, I did not plan for a day after recovery day. And I wound up calling in sick to work the next day. So in light of that, and with that in mind,
yeah,
I thought we could talk about, like, what is our ritual? What do we do? What do Sean and Mike do immediately following a backpacking trip to recover? What should people expect if you are new to this hobby, and just everything about that?
Okay. I think it's a very important topic, in the sense that, if especially for people that are doing longer trips, a recovery day is more important for that. If it's just an overnighter or a out and back day hike, maybe not so much an important thing. But for the longer trips, for sure, I think it's a much more important thing for it. So,
well, and I don't want to contradict you, but, like, depending on someone's fitness level,
well, true.
I think even a day hike, like, you might want to, some of the things that we're talking about, maybe not, like, the whole taking a whole day off type thing, but I've got some stuff on my list that, even for just a day hike, especially if you're brand new, I think these are going to be good tips for somebody that even just does a day hike.
For sure. So where do you want to start with this?
Okay, so let me just run down my list. So let me start at the top of my list. So at the top of my list, like, the first thing when I start thinking about recovery day and talking to potential listeners about a recovery day, the first thing that comes into my head is, like, okay, let's talk about the why, right? Like, why are we even talking about this? Like, what is the reason that recovery is even a topic? So some of the things that you and I learned on our first backpacking trip up in the Porcupine Mountains is, when we got done, we were so freaking hungry for a real meal. Like, we had eaten dehydrated food for days.
Yep.
So we were hungry for a real meal. We were, especially once you stop moving, we were so sore that it was hard for me to walk. Like, we had used the muscles
out of the truck,
getting in and out of the truck, getting up and down stairs, getting up and out of a chair. I remember, like, my husband was laughing at me for days because I was walking around like I had, like, seriously injured myself. And luckily I had not seriously injured myself, but hiking uses such different muscles than you use in your everyday life that I was sore in places I didn't know you could get sore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're carrying an extra 40 pounds on you, and you're strapping those 40 pounds to different parts of your body that aren't normally used to carrying that much weight. So you're definitely using different parts of your body.
100%. Right.
And using them differently. So,
So then to like frame that back in the why does this topic even matter? So you've used all these weird parts of your body that you're maybe not used to using. You are probably eating different foods out on the trail than you eat in your everyday life. So to prevent any injuries from developing, to strengthen those muscles, to get your body back where it needs to be, there are quote unquote recovery things that you can do to help with all of that, to speed up that recovery, to get you back to keeping being healthy as part of that. So that's the why, right?
Okay.
So then following the why, I feel like this is almost a TED talk. Like, I feel like I'm lecturing at this point, but immediately following the why, it's like, okay, let's talk about the how, right?
Okay.
So I thought we could start with what are, like, as soon as you are done hiking, what are the things you should do to, like, aid in all of this, right? Mm-hmm. So literally you get back to the vehicle. What's the next step? For my notes, and feel free to jump in, but for my notes, the big thing for you and I that we have started doing is you want to rehydrate, right? Like, because you've talked a lot about you sweat, right? Like, you're a sweater.
Yep.
So for sure. We have started taking, for when we get back to the vehicle, an extra bottle of water so that you make sure that you got water right when you get to the truck. And if we're feeling real spicy, Gatorade Zero, Powerade Zero, something with like the like electrolytes, whatever those are.
It's got what plants crave.
It's got what plants crave, 100%. But then it's going to have like I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm going to say it like it's a fact. I think electrolytes have salt in them or like replenish your sodium in some way.
Realistically, I think electrolytes are salt. I could be wrong on that. Not scientists, not doctors.
Neither one of us is a scientist or a doctor.
But I do know that. Not
sponsored
like,
by Gatorade or Powerade.
one of the fitness things that I used to do, they recommended, like, especially if you're drinking the full flavored Gatorades. When I say full flavored, it's not the sugar free.
Right.
Yeah. So if you have all the sugar and all that stuff, then they say like you realistically should be overexerting yourself. The Gatorades and Powerades and all that stuff are more or less for athletes that are really exerting themselves.
Like consumption sitting and watching TV.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, and that's because of the extra sugar. They say the zero sugar is better. It's got the electrolytes. It doesn't have the sugar in it. It still has a sweetener of sorts that, and we can get into that whole topic on it if we start a different podcast. But they just said just drinking water, if you want to boost electrolytes in your water, to take a pinch of Himalayan, like pink Himalayan sea salt or Baltic sea salt, and put a pinch of that in your water, and that adds electrolytes. So I really think electrolytes are just salt. Like, but they're not iodized. Like, that's the thing is, like, if you use those sea salts or whatever, or the Himalayan salts or whatever, they're not iodized or whatever, so they're not as bad for you.
Tell me more about that.
I know nothing more about that. This is just me spewing things that I remembered from.
Right. I don't know. I'm not going to say an electrolyte is just salt, but I think there's salt in it.
Right. Yeah.
You could be right. It could be just salt. I don't have any way of knowing because I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist. So.
And when we don't have anything that could possibly look that up.
There's no way to look on the internet to figure it out.
No.
So we'll just keep powering through. So, okay. So that's your first thing, right? Like rehydrating. That's the big thing because like you're finally at a point where you're not needing to conserve your water and all that sort of stuff. So get yourself rehydrated. The next thing Mike and I do, as silly as it looks, is we will, right there in the parking lot, before getting into the truck even, we'll do some stretches. So we had a whole podcast episode about stretching. It was really focused, if my memory is correct, and I've been wrong before in my life, so I'm not positive I'm correct, but it was really more focused on pre-hike stretching.
We did talk a little bit about post-hike, but
did we talk about post-hike?
It was more geared towards the prep for a hike. So but there were some things about the post-hike, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on, like, specific stretches or anything like that, but to prevent your stiffness, to prevent things from cramping up, do your stretches before you do anything else. Like, get your pack off, rehydrate yourself, do some of them stretches. Like, you're going to look silly, whatever.
Especially if the trailhead that you are leaving is an hour or more from your next destination, you're going to be sitting in that truck for a definitely do some stretches, because you will stiffen up.
And you will stiffen up quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even think it's got to be an hour. We're like 20 minutes. You're going to start like walking funny. Because like I know even like the last time we went, Mike and I left the parking lot and went down the road. We stopped at a gas station. I think we were getting snacks at the gas station or something like that. And I damn near fell out of the truck because, like, we hadn't even done the stretches. And I damn near fell out of the truck because I'm like, oh, Jesus, my legs are cramping up already. focus on your legs primarily. I mean, focus on all parts of your body, but really it's your legs that are going to be the worst of it probably. So, you know, focus on your calves, your quads, your hammies, your hips, like that general area.
I like to focus and do as few shoulder like stretches too, just because that pack, you know, and your hip flexors and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of different things you'll learn as you go, like if you need to stretch more or stretch different parts. Everybody reacts differently to their pack, so you know, you may need less leg stretches and more shoulder or more hip or whatever. So
then after that, so you've done your stretches, you've rehydrated. Then after that, the next thing Mike and I do, and I kind of mentioned it there for a minute, like gas station is probably not the best source of like refueling and getting your nutrition back in you. But realistically, you should plan for something, whether that's keeping something in your vehicle before you go or whatever it is. But like you're going to want. People have eaten different things out on the trail. You eat whatever you want to pack, but you are going to want some like protein back in your body. You're going to want some carbs back in your body.
Yeah.
Figure out something. Mike and I sometimes will stop at a restaurant and get something, or if a gas station is all you got, stop there and get something. But
I feel bad for everybody we encounter after we've been out on the trail though, because we do not smell pretty.
Oh, we do not smell pretty, and that leads, whether you meant to or not, directly into my next bullet point, which is the next thing you're going to want to do, realistically, is get a shower.
Yep.
While doing that, do yourself a tick check.
You know, for sure.
Strip down to your, you know, nothingness, birthday suit. Do yourself a real good look over, but not only look for ticks. Look for blisters, look for cuts, look for anything like that that you need to address. Because, like, this is going to be your time to hopefully catch something before it gets infected.
Right.
Catch those ticks before, you know, the Lyme disease or whatever gets transferred to you. All of those things for your, like, physical health. Get all of them done sooner than later.
Right. Yeah. We'll get into like our habits and stuff. I was going to jump into that, but we can get into our habits and what you and I personally do a little bit later on.
Okay.
Like, do you have a little closing out with that?
Okay. So that's all the stuff like for immediately once you get done, right? So
then right.
Between immediately being done and your next day, the other things that you're going to want to kind of be conscious of, I guess I will say, is Mike and I kind of mentioned it already, like riding in the vehicle to go back home, right? Like you're going to get stiff over like that evening, that afternoon following, or even into the next day. Do yourself a favor. And as much as you would love to just sit on the couch and just be or in your bed or soaking in a tub or whatever you would like to be doing, you're going to want to move.
Yeah. I know you just walked miles, but go for a short walk, any kind of like a Pilates or yoga or yoga, something that kind of stretches you or something. Yeah.
I mean, do something, whether that's, walk to the mailbox and back, just don't be a total bump on the log, because it is going to make it so much worse in the long run.
For sure.
If you're, I get it. You are going to feel like you want to just be a total vegetable.
Right. You're not doing yourself any service by doing that, unfortunately.
Take it from somebody that has done that. not the right way
would
to do it.
Would not recommend zero
would
stars.
Would not recommend zero stars. 100%. And then in conjunction with this, really do pay attention to your body. Like, you are going to be sore, but pay attention to your body. Like, is anything more than sore? Like, is anything actually hurting? Right.
Right.
So
can you not stand to put weight on your left leg?
Again, you're using some of these muscles. Like, did you pull something out there because you haven't used this muscle, or did you, I don't know. I mean, is there something that you have done where you've done actual damage? If you've got really sore spots or really feel like you've got some inflammation going on, my understanding, and again, I am not a doctor, so, listen to your medical professionals, but ice first for sore spots to reduce
swelling,
I'm
going to
say swelling, but inflammation, whatever that is. Following that, you can use heat to just like loosen your stiff muscles.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, Sean, Mike and I like to use a hot tub. So we will, depending on how far away from home we are, if it requires a hotel stay, we make sure that we get a hotel with a hot tub.
I mean, I don't ever think, like, our first trip to the Porky's, it didn't require a hotel stay. We could have made the whole trek back, but we wanted the extra night of, we just got out of the woods, let's go enjoy a good meal and take our time reacclimating back to society. I mean, it was only 4 days, but
a good meal, a cold beer and a hot tub and some relaxation before getting back to the grind, for sure.
Yep.
And that is a tradition that we have continued, not every trip, but most trips. Right. We kind of do that for recovery. Not everybody's going to have that option. A bathtub would work just fine, or a hot shower if you need to. The hot heat is what's going to loosen up those stiff muscles.
Even a heating pad or something, if you're sitting around and you just put ice on to reduce the inflammation, then if you have a heating pad, then throw that and provide heat that way too. So
the other thing that I like to do is I like to sit in a way where I can get my legs up. So, to elevate your legs above your heart to keep my understanding is it helps keep the swelling down. It makes my knees feel better. It makes my ankles feel better. It makes my feet feel better. So, if you can get where your legs are raised and not in a normal sitting position, that seems to be helpful to me.
Yeah, I haven't gone that far with it, but it might not be a bad thing to try.
Well, I have knees that are not great to begin with, and without getting too deep into that whole thing, when I get back and they start to get a little swollen and stuff, I find raising them helps me personally.
It, not a doctor, I'm not going to say it.
Okay, fair enough.
Moving on.
Other things to pay attention to, your first night following, your backpacking trip, foot care and skin care is kind of important. So especially if you're new to the backpacking thing, you're going to want to realistically, as good as you have planned, you are probably going to have blisters. You're probably going to have blisters on your feet. It's just, you know, is this the first time you've worn these boots? Is this the first time you've been out on the trail? You're probably going to have blisters. So treat those. If you have gone so far that your feet feel like they are dried out, you're going to want to moisturize them. And the other thing is really take this opportunity, and I don't want to focus too much on feet because, like, I don't love feet personally, but the other thing you're going to want to pay attention to, like, as you're checking your feet and figuring out where your blisters are, take note of that. Like, and when I say take note of it, like, actually write it down. Like, where did you get blisters? Where are you having problems with your feet? Because there might be ways you can adjust your footwear for the next time that you go out. So do you need to lace them different? Do you need different socks in there? Do you need different, what do they call that piece that comes out? The insole or whatever that is? Do you, like, there's actual adjustments you can make to your hiking boots so that you don't have that next time. It's hard to remember that if you don't write it down. At least it is for me. If you've got a great memory, good for you. And if you can commit it to memory, great. I have a heart. I want to actually write it down so that I can, like, pay attention to what do I need to do? Like, do I need moleskin next time? Do I need to wrap my toes together? All of those adjustments you can make so that this doesn't happen again going forward.
Well, I mean, my first pair of boots, I loved them. And then something happened where they started rubbing and I ended up with bad blisters on my one foot and it was painful to walk. And so I just knew at that point, that was the last time I wore those boots. I went and got new boots because I knew that I wasn't going to continue hiking with that pair because of the blisters that they caused. And I could see where the damage was on the boots once we got back that caused it. And it wasn't something that I could just fix. So just those went in the garbage and, I have a new pair that I love. So, I mean, you're going right down my list of things. So,
all right. Well, let me rehydrate myself. What do you got next on your list?
Well, mine, I mean, realistically, mine is just more or less a recap in like what we tend to do. We've kind of talked a little bit about what we do, but, well, I guess the one thing that with a recovery day too, we're talking about how like all the things to do physically and everything, we can talk more about like the mental, part of the recovery too. Whereas, this is a great time to, instead of just getting back from the trail and then heading right back to your daily grind, it's just another, I don't want to say reacclimating to society or getting back home, like, you know, cause it's not like you're lost in the woods for weeks or anything like that. It's, and you didn't, you're not becoming feral. but it's more or less like you have your trail mentality. You've been looking forward to this trip for such a long time. Towards the end of your work week, when you build to your vacation or hiking trip or whatever, you start slowing down at work because you're gearing up for your trip and everything. The same thing goes with your trip. It's like you got to wind down from your trip too. You ever get back to work and say, I need a vacation for my vacation?
Right.
That's your mental break is just getting back and saying, okay, I'm having a day for me of I don't have to worry about what's next for my vacation or my travel day or this, that, or the other thing. And I also don't want to go right back to how many emails did I miss while I was gone? What's waiting for me at work that I really don't want to handle right now because I'm still coming down from this. I had a great trip or whatever. You don't want to just go back to your daily grind. So that really helps you out mentally to take that extra day if you can afford it vacation wise or whatever. If you can, it really does go a long way mentally to help you out there. And I guess burnout is, I guess, the word I want to use. It can help you prevent burnout of going from one thing to the next, where you take a day and you're just like, this is for me. I know I do it to myself all the time, and my wife yells at me because I end up getting sick. Like, I end up with like a really bad cold or something like that because my body's just like, dude, you need to stop.
Well, so, you're not getting the rest. You're doing all the things. So yeah. So that's part of, like, I guess when I think of a recovery day, those are the types of things that I'm trying to do. So like, so not only the physical, which is for sure a thing, but yeah, like you're saying, the mental part of it. So, cause I find when I am out on the trail, everybody's heard the term runner's high, right? Like, where people supposedly right. run so much that they get like this high and feel euphoric. Like, I feel like I get that or the equivalent of that when we're out hiking.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like the physical exertion or what it is about, you know, is it just out there being in nature and getting that clean air into your lungs and
not having to deal with the stresses of your day to day.
Right. But like, I feel like I get that. And then I get back and I get, like you're talking about, I don't want to call it depression because I think that's probably a little bit too far to say I get depressed about going right. back to work. Yeah. But like, I almost do feel like I get like a blues about like, I'm going to go back to the office.
Your vacation's over.
I'd rather be back out there in the woods. Like, I wish it was a couple of days ago again, you know? So like, there right. is something to be said about, even aside from the physical aspect of recovery day, a mental health recovery day, I think, is warranted. You know, mm-hmm,
for sure.
Your employer might not agree with me, but
yeah, it. I don't know. It just, like you said, you just spent so much time out and looking forward to this trip, and all of a sudden now it's over,
right?
And what you were looking forward to is done. So you can get into this bummer of a mood and I'm not going to say, like you said, I'm not going to say you slip into a depression or whatever, but like, you just kind of like, man, like, and now it's back to what I do every damn day. So
one of the things that I like to do, where I have started doing, I should say, to kind of combat that, is when I take my recovery day. So that's the day, you know, that I'm kind of being a couch potato, not a total couch potato, because I'm right. getting up and walking, you know, walking around the house a little bit so that I'm moving. But one of the things I like to do as a mental health exercise is that's the day where I start doing, like, looking back through photos. All right, which of these photos do I like? Which ones do I keep? Which ones right. do I delete? Because it, like, bridges that gap between reality and being out on the trail. So, like, I can look back on how much fun I was having. And then take the opportunity, if you're doing the journal stuff like we've recommended, this is a great time while it's fresh in your memory to go through and journal about your trip. So, you know, you kind of get a twofer there, where it's good for your mental health and you're getting everything written down.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of those types of things can help with the mental recovery as you transition back into reality.
Right. Yeah. You know? Back into real life.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. First, I mean, and we've talked about it before, like the mental health benefits of going hiking. And then, but this is also to help with your mental health of after post hiking is yep. like, so you don't fall into that. Just, I got to get back to the grind. And now I don't want to wake up in the morning because now I got nothing to look forward to because my trip is over.
Right. I have nothing right. to look forward to.
So it just helps you, like, okay, like, you got that extra day of just gorging on whatever food you want and just
yeah.
whatever, you know?
Yeah. Use it as your cheat day. I mean, right, realistically, right. And I kind of joke about it, but realistically, if you're out there for, I mean, 1 to 2 days, you're probably fine. But once you start getting into like 3 to 4 days, especially if you do like Mike and I do, where it's primarily the dehydrated, rehydrated meals,
mm-hmm.
those meals are great. And they've got what the body needs and they're good sources of, like, you know, vitamins and nutrients and all that sort of stuff. But when you've eaten them for 3 or 4 or more days in a row, You can tell you've been eating dehydrated food.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just give – you want something fresh. You want something juicy. You want something yep. like
– I was just thinking like a juicy burger always goes a long way.
Every time we get done, I'm like, I want a beer and a burger every yep. single time. Or, you know, like some chicken wings, or realistically, like I start craving a salad or like a fruit cocktail or something, because, you know, you go that long with that dehydrated stuff, it just starts to, it's got a different texture to it, I guess.
Well, it's some are better than others, but they're not like a gourmet home cooked meal or even like a restaurant. Like it's right. It's not a garbage bar burger. Like, right. you know, there's something behind like a really good greasy bar burger that
yeah.
it just hits home. And like, it's not that they leave you wanting more.
They leave you wanting less of them.
Right. They leave you wanting more of other things. You never finish yeah. one of those and you're like, yeah, I'd do that again. Like yeah. I'll just make another one.
Right. Right. I don't crave them when I'm at home. I don't just, if I get home from a long right. day at work, I'm not using a hiking meal to have right. dinner.
Like, oh man, I could really go for some of that dehydrated mac and cheese right now.
Right. Right.
So, what else do you have? Because okay. I've got.
So the only other thing is like a bonus thing that I have left. I mean, that's pretty okay. much the things. And so like before, I guess when I get to my bonus thing, did you have anything else? Or are you saying you're about done?
I'm about done to basically go and just kind of share just some of my rituals or whatever. So.
Okay, well, so before we get to that, so, like, I just want to reiterate, because there's a couple of things that I want to make sure that I'm getting the point across for. So, if you have the ability to take a recovery day, like a whole day,
mm-hmm.
highly recommend.
For sure.
Both mental health and physical-wise. So, I understand not everybody's going to have that, but if you have the ability to take that extra day, if you've been out for, I'm going to say, 3 or more days, you're going to want that recovery day.
For sure.
I really want to make sure that I am clear when I say there is a difference between being sore and a difference between having an injury. So, like, if yes. you have an injury, pay attention to your body. Are you just sore or do you have an injury? If you have an injury, get it checked out by somebody that is qualified to check it out. Even your blisters and your cuts and stuff, you know, like infections might not show up the first day. Blisters that pop can get infected. Even mm-hmm. small scrapes and cuts can become infected. So pay attention to your body. Really look at that. Get yourself some good nutrition. I mean, we're joking about saying like beer and a burger, but like, pay attention to what you're consuming over the next day. Make sure you're getting all the things that you need. You're getting your, you know, rehydrated. You're getting your protein. Mm-hmm. You're getting your carbs so that your body is in a good position to do that physical recovery that it needs to do. So,
right.
We've been joking and being a little bit lighthearted about it, but I want to make sure, like, it can be fairly serious. So, like, do what you need to do on your recovery day. If you don't have a whole day or you got to go back to the office or whatever, still try to incorporate some of this, like paying attention to your body, even if you're back to work that day.
Yeah. If you're back to work, maybe get up and walk around a little bit more just right. so you can avoid some of the stiffness and the aches and pains and stuff. Just keep your body moving a little right. bit. You know, if you're on a conference call, maybe stand up every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm just using my work experience. I'm on a lot of damn calls. So stand up. You know, sometimes, too, if the call affords me to not have to physically watch a presentation or anything mm-hmm. like that, I might take it on my phone and pop in my AirPods and go for a walk. So there's that option too. If that's something that you, that if that your work affords you that, that cushion or that ability. So,
and I come at it almost from like a different aspect. Like at this point in my life, I do have more of an office job, but when you and I first started, I had a construction job. Like the whole reason that I had to call in sick the next day is because I didn't think I could stand up to walk around and do work all day. Like
climb a ladder.
I couldn't get up and down a ladder. I couldn't get in and out of my work truck. You know, like I couldn't kneel down and on the ground and be convinced that I could get back up of my own accord. Right.
You know, crawling in a crawl space and asking the customer for help.
Right. So, I mean, depending on what you do for work, like all things to take into consideration. So then the bonus content that I have, or I as doing research for this, I saw all these like tips on, you know, how influencers are on the internet these days where it's like, maximize your time, do the best, you know, do all your things, like get out there and girl boss about it. But some of the tips were actually pretty good. So I thought I could mention a few of the things. So like a few of the things that kept popping up that I thought were good examples of, okay, you're taking this recovery day. How can you maximize that day so that it's still a productive day, right?
Productive, so you don't feel like a human piece of garbage at the end of the day.
Right. So
like, I didn't do nothing.
We kind of mentioned it earlier, but more than just your boots – this is a great time to like think back on your trip and think about the equipment that you had. Mm-hmm. What worked? What didn't work? What didn't you have that you wished you had? What did you take that you never once took out? All of those things about your gear, this is a great time to take to reflect on that. Your pack is probably still packed and needs unpacked at some point. So, you know, as you're going through that, go through the stuff that you're taking out of your pack or whatever that looks like for how you store it. Did you take a bunch of shit you don't need? I guess is the short version of that, right?
Right.
Or evaluate, do you like how you packed your pack? Like, did you have something in your pack that you kept needing to get to, but it was constantly on the bottom and you had to take everything out? Okay.
Right.
Well, maybe does that spot for that need to move? Where's a better spot for that? Did you have any of those hiking meals that it was like, okay, I'm never getting that one again. Write that down. Cause you will forget. Like
it's fresh in your head right now. Yep.
I have meals that I've gotten. And then a couple years later, I've gotten them again. It's like, and then I get out there on the trail. It's like, oh yeah, this was the one I didn't like. You know, because it's hard to remember that far back. So, you know, write that sort of stuff down, evaluate that sort of stuff. Back to the boots. How did your boots perform? Are there modifications that you need to make to that? But those are some things.
Did you take trekking
poles? Did you take trekking poles? Did you use them? Did you like them? Did they not work for you? What's the deal with that? All that stuff. But always to be productive on your recovery day.
That's really, I mean, that's a really, really good, good point or a good piece of advice there. Like to sit there and think while you're actively recovering, to just sit there and take notes. Like you could realistically use that time to do your journaling and all that stuff. And that's kind of getting to where like my rituals and all that kind of stuff. Like what do I do when I get back from a trip?
Okay. So let's talk about that.
So barring the, like we get off the trail and then we go find a place with a hot tub and a shower and like all that. You know, once we're done doing all that, once I'm actually home and out of the truck, what I like to do is on my recovery day is get my pack out. I usually let my pack sit for a night, like without touching it. I'm just so tired or whatever. I let it sit for a night in the garage. My wife won't let me bring it in the house because of ticks. So
and because it stinks to high heaven.
And it stinks to high heaven. So I take my pack out into the front or backyard, depending on the type of day or whatever. I set my tent back up. I let it air out. It could have gotten wet on the trail, that type of thing. So I just want to prevent any kind of mold, anything like that. I wash my sleeping bag. I have my laundry day. I wash that, get my clothes all washed up, all that kind of stuff. I unpack my pack and put it back in my, I have a hiking bin. So I have my stuff put into my bins, and I do take a note of what I used, what I didn't use. If I didn't use it, is it something that I should take because we potentially will use it, things of that nature. And then I also, I air out my pack, for that, but I do that. I do make my mental notes of what's what, but I make the point of going through, like I wash my bladder and, let that hang dry and all that kind of stuff. And I put everything away into a bin. And this ritual has just started in the last 2 years, to where last year, when we're getting ready to go for our hike, I forgot that I put stuff in the bin because, and I was freaking out because I'm like, where's all my stuff? So my wife, she was like, you put it in a bin. I'm like, oh, that's right. So I found the bin and everything was there. Didn't lose anything. So we're all good. But I do that. I have that ritual just so I know where everything is at. And then if a tent pole broke, if I'm missing a tent stake or I'm doing whatever, I make a note of it. And right then, like this past trip, I noticed that one of the pull strings on our stakes had ripped. So I contacted the tent manufacturer and said, it's under warranty. It's the first time I used it. This happened. They sent me a brand new stake.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a whole pack. I was like, they'll have them in packs. So they'll just have to send me a pack of stakes right now. They sent me a stake, but I still I didn't wait until the day before we're going and be like, oh shit, I need this stake and just have to make do with a broken one. While it was fresh in my mind, ordered that part and got it so it's set and ready for the next trip. So
right.
That's prime example of why we do these things, is just that if something broke down,
yeah,
you get it repaired or whatever. So
yeah. So yeah, I would say my process is pretty much the same.
Yeah, you get your laundry done. Like my hiking clothes, it's not like I wear my insect shield pants on a daily or on a regular basis. Those go in my bin, like all that kind of stuff. So it's just so everything is just fresh and ready and tidy for the next trip. And then if we ran out of gas or are running low on gas from our cook stove, anything like that, I can just reorder. So and it keeps you moving. You're up, you're setting up your tent again. You're doing those motions that you were doing, just in a less strenuous manner.
Yeah. That's a great point. I mean, that little bit, not that you're moving a ton, but even that little bit of moving is going to be helpful for, your little bit of exercise this hour or whatever it is to get you off of the couch or out of your bed. And
yeah. So, I mean, it just gets you to unwind a little bit, have your mental thought. And then maybe you didn't like the way that your tent was set up out on the trail and you couldn't figure it out because you just wanted to get tent set up or your get camp set up and relax. So you didn't really focus too much on what you could have done differently to set your tent up. So you get a set up at home, take your time with it and be like, oh, I could have done this differently. And then just take your time with it. So.
Or be like Mike and I and watch a YouTube video because you couldn't figure out how to set your new tent up in the first place.
I mean, I wasn't going to out us like that, but whatever. So
that is the end of my list, pretty much. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover in today's episode?
No, I think that's everything that I have. And, I think for me personally, I think the mental portion of the recovery day is the more important thing for me. I'll be sore at work, whatever, that's fine, unless I'm really injured. But I think I get a lot more out of the mental aspect of it than the physical.
I think for me, I don't have a real hard time with, the post-hike blues. mine is more the physical, where I want to make sure that I am really taking care of, it's usually my legs. Usually like the waist down on me is so sore that I just need a day. And I need to focus on getting my legs moving, getting that recovered, so that then the next day I can go back to work and not walk like I...
You need a walker.
It's like the first time I've walked in my life. Yeah.
Right.
So, but like both are valid. Like whatever your reason is.
Yeah, for sure.
Both reasons are valid on needing a recovery day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's all I've got.
All right. Well, if anybody out listening has any recovery rituals that you would like to share, or has anything that they feel like we have missed covering as part of this recovery episode, you can always reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on most of the major socials at seanmikehike, or you can reach us directly on our website, seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike
and then recover from it.
There you go. All right. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks, everybody. See you guys.
Yep.